Is there censorship against conservative content going on in major outlets on the internet, such as YouTube or Google? And if so, how do the censors decide which content to approve and which to disapprove? And does the Southern Poverty Law Center have anything to do with such decisions? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is an upcoming friend of mine. I've yet to meet you in person, but I enjoy talking with you on the radio. This is Jarrett Stepman of the Heritage Foundation, who is a contributor to DailySignal.com, a publication of Heritage. And in fact, he wrote an article recently called YouTube Quietly Relies on Far-Left Organization to Help Police Content. Jarrett, it's great to talk with you again. Let's get right to it. Is the SPLC behind some of this internet content censorship?
Yeah, well, the answer is certainly yes. This story broke actually recently that the Southern Poverty Law Center, which if listeners don't know, is this organization that's kind of deemed this civil rights group, but in fact is actually a fairly extreme left-wing activist group that has increased its net of who they consider what they call hate groups. This has been a common theme with the SPLC, is that they have cast a wide net over what are considered hate groups, lumping in organizations like the Ku Klux Klan with traditionally conservative or even religious organizations. So the SPLC is a very radical group, and YouTube recently has decided to allow them into what's called the Trusted Flaggers Program, which essentially allows the SPLC to moderate content on the back of their end of their website. So you don't know if the content itself is being monitored by them or somebody else, but they have pretty wide control over the things that are actually shown or allowed to be shown on YouTube. So I would say they definitely have a broad powers to affect censorship on YouTube, which is obviously a widely used platform.
Okay, tell us about this Trusted Flaggers program. Give us more details.
So the Trusted Flaggers program essentially allows organizations, and YouTube is generally pretty quiet about who's actually on this list, but it essentially gives them powers to moderate the YouTube website. So this is kind of beyond the control of YouTube. They put essentially this power into the hands of organizations, this time the SPLC. And I reached out to them when I wrote my story and asked if they are using to confirm if they're using SPLC. They didn't confirm with me, but they did confirm with Think Progress, which is a kind of activist left-wing website. So they're definitely part of this program. Now, we don't know all the organizations that are a part of this, but they do have fairly broad power, and it certainly brings up questions, especially because many conservatives in particular have said that in the last few years that their content has been censored. I mean, including Prager University, which has a number of videos on the website that mysteriously got taken down a few years ago and were pulled for no apparent reason. So I think there's a lot of reason for conservatives or people with traditional values to be very, very concerned about the fact that SPLC, a group that has a kind of innocuous sounding name, is actually given these broad powers to regulate content on what is supposed to be a neutral platform.
Sure. And by the way, just by way of full disclosure, I personally work full-time for D. James Kennedy Ministries. We're the organization where we're actually suing the Southern Poverty Law Center because of defamation. They accuse us of being a hate group because they don't agree with our view on same-sex marriage, which we think is wrong according to the Bible. We have no animosity towards anybody, but because they disagree with our politics and our morality, then we're supposedly haters, and the Family Research Council are haters. It's ridiculous. In fact, we did a whole special about this group called Prophets of Hate, and the S is the dollar sign. They make tons of money, that is, the Southern Poverty Law Center does. And it's so fascinating that now that we made that special a year ago, we initiated the lawsuit about a year ago, now the big story is this censorship going on, you know, YouTube and Facebook and Google and Vimeo and these major, major outlets. And to think that the SPLC has something to do with it, it's an amazing story, Jared.
It really is. I mean, it shows the kind of partnership they have with Silicon Valley. And, you know, unfortunately, I think there are a lot of people in Silicon Valley, as there are certainly in the media, who have come to rely on organizations like the SPLC, not questioning whether or not this organization can really be what you would even consider close to objective in how they moderate content and things like that. But, you know, unfortunately, Silicon Valley is, you know, a place where most people kind of think the same way. They're in a little bit of a liberal bubble, I guess you could say, in many of these places. So they don't really question whether or not SPLC is actually putting their finger on the button of certain policies that, you know, are lumping in what are fairly mainstream messages in with genuinely bad groups like the Ku Klux Klan. I think that is what's so unfair about what the SPLC does, is because, you know, their words often have a great amount of weight with certainly in sure. the media over who's a hate group, and they basically have been able to shut people down because, you know, you end up on one of these hate lists and it looks just terrible for your organization, because people say, well, you know, you're a hate group. People are afraid to donate. They're afraid to use your website. So, you know, they're wielding a whole lot of power over the lives of individual Americans, over the certainly many companies or people who want to put content on the internet. And I think that's a very worrying thing. That's not something that should be taken lightly.
Mm. I agree with you. By the way, the first time I even had even a hint of this developing story, and it never stops, that is about the internet censorship of conservative and Christian content. But there's this gentleman named David Kyle Foster. He is somebody I've interviewed through the years many times. He's a former homosexual, was very, you know, involved in the homosexual lifestyle, was even a male prostitute in Hollywood in the 1980s, and even a bit actor in this movie and that movie. He even had a small part in the movie Halloween. He got saved, he changed, and he's made all these very beautiful, compassionate videos about people dealing with broken sexual problems and how faith in Christ, you know, really helped change that. And he had these 700 or something like that videos on Vimeo, all well shot, very compassionate, you know, not in any way, you know, negative and stuff, but it does deal with real issues and brokenness and so forth. Well, one day, without any warning, without any request, just boom, Vimeo said, oh, we're taking this down. These are offensive. Somebody complained, you know, or something like that. And that was the first indication of what is coming. And that was about a year ago.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen a lot more since that time, a lot of indications. I mean, of course, you know, many people know the story about this ex-Google employee, James Damore, who wrote some things that were politically incorrect. And, you know, he was fired after this memo was published. And I think he kind of shed a little light on essentially what goes on in Silicon Valley. If you do not toe the line, you potentially could lose your job. You know, certainly, you know, the views are very, very much one way. And we've seen this expressed in these companies' policies. I mean, recently we had Google, which effectively created this tool to search out fake news and fact-checking that almost entirely caught up conservative websites and had almost no liberal websites on the list. Fortunately, there were members of the media, and mostly a lot of them in conservative media, who pointed out how ridiculous this was, and they had to actually pull down their tool. But these things are going on to a greater and greater extent. I mean, as we're seeing the kind of decline of what I consider legacy media, mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of people in Silicon Valley who are very much activists and have very strong beliefs and believe that their tools should be used as a measure to affect social justice. And so they're going to use them against conservative people, you know, who may have traditional values that they don't agree with. And I think that's something for, you know, as you said, Christians and traditional Americans and conservatives to be very much concerned with. And, you know, it's going to take a lot of good reporting on the kind of stuff that's happening, because ultimately this stuff is not going to be stopped unless it's exposed to the mainstream public, the kind of practices that are going on with a lot of these Silicon Valley companies.
Yeah, these PragerU videos are very, you know, very interesting, very informative, very short, you know, maybe 4 or 5 minutes. They'll take one idea. For example, there's one of them with Michael Medved is talking, and he's talking about the pilgrims. And he basically says, you know, here are like 3 or 4 common myths that are said about the pilgrims. You know, they came and they stole land from the Indians, you know, that kind of thing. And then he explains, well, nah, actually, here's what happened, blah, 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 you know, and they're very informative, but it's almost like in this day and age, the people who are in charge of the platform are deciding that they don't want to have, you know, conservatives and Christians to have their fair share, their fair say.
Absolutely, and you know, at some point, this could be a problem for these companies, even legally. I mean, many platforms like Facebook and YouTube essentially legally get to be call themselves kind of neutral platforms, and they're actually protected by the Communications Decency Act. And you know, if they're shown essentially that they are not neutral organizations, that they are essentially weeding out content, and they have an agenda one way or another, you know, they should no longer be protected by some of these legal protections that protect them from liability for content on their websites. You know, they've gotten around some of these rules because, again, they're seen as neutral platforms where they're not actually trying to put their finger on the button of any policy. They're just allowing other people to use it as a platform, liberals, conservatives, and people from all different political persuasions. But, you know, it's very concerning to see that, you know, maybe that's not the case. Maybe they're moving away from that. And I think that, you know, people have a right to know, you know, what's going on with these organizations. These are, I mean, incredibly widely used basically platforms. I mean, companies like Google and YouTube and Facebook have an enormous amount of power in our everyday lives. They shape and form people's views. They are used as communication tools. So, you know, it's not something that can just be ignored as a small problem or just a problem with Silicon Valley. But this really has becomes a societal problem when, you know, our platforms for communication are twisted and censored in the way that it appears that they increasingly are being so.
All right, so let me ask you this. We're both coming from a conservative perspective, and we don't like to see the government get involved, you know, and actually, usually, technically, when people are talking about censorship, it's the government that, you know, can do the censorship. But in these particular cases, these are private companies, Google, YouTube, Facebook. So how do we address that side of the issue? You see the tension I'm talking about?
Oh, I absolutely see the tension. And part of the issue is that, look, I mean, you can't. It's hard to just create a, you know, conservative view version of Facebook. I mean, these companies have many decades of institutional, you know, a head start. If that's the case, I do think it is important for, and there certainly is a growing amount of media organizations from a more conservative point of view who have called them out, and I think it is important, as we've seen with the Google tool that was so clearly partisan and biased, had to get pulled because of bad reporting. And a lot of these companies, I mean, ultimately they do look at their bottom line. If you know, half their customer base is essentially angry and thinks that they are being treated unfairly, they're going to lose a lot of customers in this world. And I do worry, of course, about, you know, the idea that the government should step in, because, you know, as we've seen, when the government does get involved in these situations, unfortunately, you know, who decides exactly what is the truth, what is fake news, what is real news? And, you know, the problem there is, you know, the SPLC, you know, can be used by YouTube, but just imagine if it was used as a tool of the federal government. Oof. And that's something that should chill everybody to the bone. So, you know, it is important that there are watchdogs and there are people that are paying attention to what these companies are doing and, you know, bringing information to people. I realize it's hard when a lot of these institutions of the left control the levers of media power, but, you know, there are ways around that. And I think that's why, you know, personally, I work for an organization like the Daily Signal that kind of plays a small role in keeping these kind of things honest and keeping these companies honest. So, you know, I think that is an important role here. I think it's a mistake to look too much to government to mm-hmm. create a solution to this problem, because at the end of the day, I think that can be turned against good people. It may have good intentions initially, but I think that ultimately censorship from the government is a dangerous way to go. But it is a vexing problem that, you know, I hopefully greater minds than myself will figure out. But it is very much a worrying problem that, you know, people need to be aware about.
All right. Jared Stepman, DailySignal.com. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Great. Bye-bye.